The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Yes, I'm back. I missed a day. You know, what, 3 days in 14 years. Unless I was hunting. Unless I was hunting or something like that. Hunting. Yeah. But that would be the whole thing. Maybe not even three. So, but it brings the humility back to me that I'm not Superman. I'm Kal-El, which is Superman's father. Okay, anyway, moving on. Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's the 15th of March, and 2023. You know what? Somehow, Liam, producer of my heart, it went from 2023 when I left to 2022 when I've come back.
Oh, I know.
What? Is it 7:05?
It's 7:06.
7:06. Well, we got that down. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Now, the one reason I say that is I'm gone for a day and we turn back a year. I was kind of thankful to get out of 2022 alive. All right, do I have to do this again?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, what's the, you have the weather reports.
I do have the weather.
I assume.
So yeah, tonight's kind of ending, but a low of 39. We are looking at a high of 59 today. Flood advisory continues through today. We're going to be in the mid to low 60s throughout the rest of the week. Come around Friday, we are going to be seeing rain, and the rain is going to continue, it looks like, through Sunday. No, Tuesday.
You mean so it's going to start raining again?
It's going to start raining again.
The opening of turkey season. The Jake turkey season, of course. Why would it change? I was hoping for one day. Of,
it hasn't let up.
No, it's only a 30% chance. So let's not.
It still could.
It could be partly sunny. So we might be getting that in the morning, let it rain later in the afternoon. Okay. Now, I understand y'all were doing the weather from Pennsylvania yesterday.
Were we? No, I can't even wrap my head around what happened.
70 mile an hour gust, 20 degrees, snow. That was being set on the station.
It might have been the Arctic, honestly.
Might have been the Arctic. Okay. Hey, anyway, the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson's family-owned business. They care about their customers. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They've got other deals for other people having problems with propane cost this cold season. And it's a veteran-owned business. I can't say enough about it. On the before I get to my guest, Wes Tucker. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Well, you know what? You have just come in and just gone bonkers in the Redding area here.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just a lot of dumb luck, I guess.
Well, we're going to get to Wes in just a second. Let's talk a little bit about the flooding. You're out in Palo Cedro, right?
I am in Palo Cedro.
I drove over Cow Creek yesterday, and it is up.
It is.
It is really up.
Yeah. So when I went to bed last night, they were about 3 feet before my neighbors who sit on the river, their houses got flooded. So fortunately, I have a good little community out there, and so they were all digging berms with excavators.
They were with excavators?
Yeah.
Bringing them up.
But I mean, it's scary. I don't know. I'm concerned about the snow melt the next couple of days because Cow Creek is still rising.
Well, the Acid Canal flooded.
I saw that.
And it has so much debris in it and everything because it wasn't used last year,
yeah,
that the heavy rain caused the debris to back up, flooding neighborhoods south of Redding in, in Anderson. And as we're talking about, Palo Cedro was getting close, if it wasn't. Canal overflowed in several places near the Verde Vale neighborhood north of Anderson. Spring Gulch Road was also flooded, as were several businesses and homes in the area. Spring Creek was flooded, which flows under 273. An excavator was sent to clear debris from the canal for limbs, logs, and other garbage jammed against the bridge. No water was going over 273, though.
Whose job was it to maintain the acid canal? Because that kind of seems like a failure on someone's part.
I don't know if it's a state thing or a county thing.
Just a thought.
Maybe we should ask the
I think
the new acid canal president on the board.
I think
their his name is, I think it's Jim Rickard.
I'm not sure.
Well, neither am I. But see, is this a state thing that keeps it open?
I
can tell you a quick story before we get to our. I lived in Hawaii. And we had, as you can imagine, we had rains a lot.
Yeah.
Well, right where I lived, right behind us, was called the preservation lands.
Mm-hmm.
And there was water out there and you know, grasses and all types of things. You know, it's like a huge...
floodplain?
No, it wasn't a floodplain. It was a... a preservation area.
Cool.
Like I said, preservation area. It was like a big green belt back mm-hmm. there. So on New Year's Eve, 1987, so it was going into 1988, I walked back to my lanai, which was at midnight.
Yeah.
I just walked out, and I was going to go outside, and I stepped down into water. And I looked out, and I had a swimming pool. No longer. It was covered in water. And I went, oh. So I woke up the wife, told her to get up, that we were going to have to start moving things. And we were moving, chest and everything up on top of beds, moving stuff up on top of counters, everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then I opened up the door to the front, and everybody in Hawaii, not everybody, but most of us, kept our shoes out in front. You just take your shoes off when you come mm-hmm. in the house. Gone. All the shoes are gone. The car is getting up deep. So I get her and the daughter and stepdaughter and threw them in the it was a Toyota station wagon type thing.
Yeah.
Pushed the car out, which was easy because it was floating at that point. Pushed it down the street until we could hit
pavement.
Yeah. And water, you could watch the water come up through the sides of on the corners of the house. Now, I'm telling about all of this. It hit a lot of people. Millions and millions of dollars worth of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the county of Honolulu had not cleaned the waterways out to this huge, it was a big canal. And all the water was supposed to run out to the ocean. They had not cleaned it out, so it was backed up. And the major storm drain there was clogged with debris. It cost the county of Honolulu millions that evening by the time it got finished.
Yeah.
Because every house that got touched like that was because of the ineptitude of the county works. So, who's in charge of the acid canal? I don't know. But if you got flooded because of it, you might want to see if somebody in charge of keeping it clear so that the water can flow through there. And, and as everybody remembers, the acid canal had no water through it last year, which I'm sure helps keeps it cleaned out. So anyway, okay, Wes, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I met Wes, VFW Post, 1934. You're the commander over. You still are the commander over there.
Yeah, I still am. They keep reelecting me because I'm younger and stupider than everybody else.
Younger has got a lot to do with it. But then you have just been assigned a very important job of being the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this position. It's really neat because in basically all of my free time, giving my free time, it's always been to help local veterans. And so the fact that I get to actually do this as my job is a pretty beautiful thing. I don't know if I can think of anything I've been more excited about doing. So
great. Okay, we're going to take a break here because we prattled on about floods and what happened to me. When we come back, I want to talk about you, your life a little bit, in the service and then how it got to here. where you're in charge of a very, very important part of our county government. This portion of the show brought to you by a veteran-owned business, B&T Satellite, Redding's dish premier local retailer. He's been doing this for 30 years, and let me tell you, Doug Tooley knows what he's doing, and he does a great job. He can even fix the satellite dish on our building here, the big one that takes all the signals from the satellites and feeds them down into our receivers here. He fixed it, and he does it with this little machine that just sets it up there, and he moves it an inch. And in this case, it was like an inch and a half to get us all back online there. And this is, I mean, but this is the kind of knowledge and the ability he did it. And he did it on a Saturday. Yeah, came out on a Saturday because we needed his help. That's Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite. You're not going to get a better deal. And he's local. Don't call the 800 number. Just don't do it. Call Doug Tooley at B&T Satellite at 530-241-DISH, 530-241-3474. B&T Satellite. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. The heater guys are coming back today, so Linda's there for that. We're batting 1,000 with the heater guys. The part that it said it needed, and it came out and said, oh, that wasn't the part, even though that's what it says. So they got more information on it, so they'll be back today. Yeah, it's okay. They showed us how to make the heater work. So it works, and it does heat, which is now I'm wondering, well, why am I getting the card, except next time it won't work. Anyway, this portion of the show brought to you by PSA2, the Fall Prevention Campaign. The PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. This no-cost program, no cost to you. It's a grant and paid by federal and state funds. The no-cost program mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. Give them a call at 530-842-1687. And again, this is no cost to the people needing it. It could be, as you get older and it's a little bit, if you're going downstairs at your house, maybe you need a new railing. How about in the shower, putting grip bars up and those kind of things. And again, this is from PS2 Area Agency on Aging. Okay. I'm here with Wes Tucker and the newest, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. So let's talk about you. Tell us, Wes, tell us about you. Are you from around here or someplace else?
I'm basically from around here. I was born in Apple Valley, California, but my family relocated up here when I was about 4. So grew up in Shingletown. And,
did you ever go to the Roy Rogers Museum?
I can't say that I ever went to the Roy Rogers Museum.
Apple Valley?
Yeah, well, I left when I was pretty young.
So. Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. I think it was there.
I was like 4 when we left, so maybe I went, and I just don't remember.
That's down around Barstow in that area, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of family that was in that area for a long time. So.
All right, so you came up here to Shingletown.
Yep, we grew up in Shingletown from when I was about 4 to about 16 years old, and we moved to Redding. And then in 2008, when I joined the military, moved away, did the we lived in Georgia for a little while. That's where I deployed from. I went to Afghanistan. When I got back, we were kind of kicking around the idea of either getting out or reenlisting, and they offered me Germany. So we reenlisted pretty quickly and spent about 3.5 years living in Germany and had a great time. It was definitely the best place the military sent me. But and then
I've never heard anybody that said they had a bad tour in Germany.
Well, maybe some older gentlemen.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're back in, say, the early 40s, you may not have had as good a tour. But, you get to practice.
Yeah.
Stopping Folder Gap or something like that, or whatever it is, over there with the Russians come across.
Yeah, we had a phenomenal tour. We didn't have to worry about Russians too much in Germany when I was there, so we once we got back from that, we relocated back to Shasta County because this is where both my wife and I grew up, and we just really loved the area, and we wanted to get involved with Shasta County.
So you've been in for probably at that point, 6 to 8 years at least?
Yeah, I got out about 6.5 years.
Okay. All right. And so you came up here, and then what happened?
Well,
you came home.
Yeah, we came back home. We were living in we came back and we stayed with my wife's grandparents. They live out towards Keswick. And then we pretty much stayed on that side of the area. Right now we live in Old Shasta. And that's where we decided to call home. So we just love it out there. It's a perfect place for us.
How'd you get involved in the veterans events around here? Because you are a major character. I shouldn't say that. A major player in the
I think you had it right the first time.
Major player when it comes to veterans affairs.
You know, it's not on purpose because that's really not. So when I first got out of the military, I had to deal with my own things from getting out and some of the things from deployments and stuff like that. And I did a lot of self-isolating. And my wife finally told me, you know, you need to do something. You can't, this can't continue forever. You've got to get help and things like that. So, you know, I went down to, that's when I actually really went down to the VFW. I'd gone before, maybe when I first got out to transfer my membership, things like that, from mm-hmm. at large to the local post, but I hadn't really been back. And, so I went down there, needing somebody, or I was going to go sit there for about 30 minutes, maybe have a beer, and then go home. And I sat down next to a World War II vet whose wife died 2 days before.
Oh, geez.
And we both just needed someone to talk to, and we just sat there and talked for about 3 hours. And it was probably the first crucial point in my life of actually getting healthier and things like that when it comes to, you know, things that you have to deal with when you get out of the military. And so... It was an amazing thing. It was like perfect timing, you know, and a little God-ordained maybe, but it was just a beautiful moment, and ever since then, I was like, okay, this is why this place is important, and ever since then, I've been involved, started out as the service officer, did a trustee for a little bit, and then junior vice commander, and now I've been the commander for about 3.5 years, and
so. You've overseen the movement from the... Oregon Street.
Yep, we were
to the new place, which is just beautiful.
Oh yeah, the new place turned out phenomenal. It was a difficult transition, a difficult move, but it's just one of those things where it wasn't really our choice, so we just have to make the best of it.
Did they give you any help, the guys that, you know, people? Here's what happened, my friends. The 1934 post down there is next to Woody's, where Woody's is now, but it's been there a long time.
Yeah, it's been there since 1994.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to speak ill of it.
No. And that's not what I want to do either, because I went to one of the first meetings when they talked about they just bought it. And they seemed that they wanted to be helpful, but wanting to be and being.
You know, it's a tough spot, because anytime you're our rent was about $1,500, but it's 5,000 square feet, and it's been $1,500 since 1994, essentially. So
which was outrageous back then. No.
Yeah, they're probably overpaying
then.
Yeah.
No,
but
and that's in a brand new refurbished. Yeah.
Well, the our post had it was very dated. Had a lot of things that if a
but they were refurbishing their areas. Years the 1934 didn't change. So.
Yeah, they're refurbishing the whole thing, and they kind of let us hang out until they finally got their permits approved, and then they're like, look, we need to really get this going. And so I talked to them, that we negotiated, and they actually did let us have 2 months free of, you know, rent free. Where they donated the 2 months.
Yeah.
That was very helpful, because for a little while there, we were paying two rents when we got the new location, but we still had to convert it from a florist into a canteen, and that's a pretty expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
And so once we did that, we were able to – that opened up a lot of that was really helpful. It saved us about $3,000 in the move, and that let us reallocate some finances to other things.
So the describe the new VFW hall. You got the same bar.
Yeah, so the new VFW, if you've been in the old VFW bar and you haven't been in the new VFW bar, you need to come on out, because it's a beautiful, brand-new location. They've done phenomenal work. The floor is just absolutely beautiful. But what they took the heart and soul of the old place, which was the bar, which had been there for forever.
Who knows how long that bar's been around, but it is absolutely – it's a memorabilia. In there with coins and all types.
Oh, it's a beautiful bar. So they actually took it apart and had it in pieces, and they brought it to the new location. The bottom of the bar is a newer one, and then they got a beautiful back bar. One of our members donated it, and so it's just this absolute beautiful antique back bar. I mean, the thing, it looks. It's a perfect vet canteen. I don't know how to explain it.
But you don't. It's not just a drinking place, though.
No, it's absolutely not. It is 100%. You know what's really cool is I have a buddy of mine. He's the senior vice commander. He was a combat medic in Afghanistan. He's 27, so he's actually the young guy now. And him and I, we went there yesterday after work, and anytime we're kind of, you know, we go there to sit and talk with the Vietnam guys, and we share stories. The more you share about the military, the more you realize it's changed and stayed the same at the same time. And, you know, it's just been a place for us to get together with like-minded people, have conversations that you can't have with civilians as easily. And, you know, it's just it really is a beautiful place. Where
you serve food and everything.
Are
you serving – you used to have tacos and all kinds of things. Has that kicked back in?
Yeah, we'll do Monday night. We have our burger night, and we still do that. And we'll have potlucks here and there. You can get small things like a hot dog or something anytime you want.
This is not a full-service restaurant by any means, but
no.
It's called bar food.
Yeah, there you go. It's bar food. Get something salty to keep you thirsty.
Keep something in your stomach.
There you go.
Right. Well, this is great. And if you haven't been, now, who can go to the VFW? Everybody thinks VFW, you got to be a veteran of four and more.
Yeah, no, you don't need to be a veteran of four and more. You just need to be a vet and their guest. So anytime if you're a veteran and you want to be a guest, or if you want to bring a guest, you're more than welcome to. That's the big thing. It's a veteran and their family.
Can you rent the place?
You can rent the place, but we don't have like a big hall or a big room like we used to. But if you want to rent it out for like maybe you're having a party and you just want the access to the bar and things of that nature, absolutely.
Is there any room to dance in there?
Yeah, just let us know. We'll clear some tables out.
Okay, I'm just asking. And then you all run the bar for the party, right?
Yeah, so one of our volunteer bartenders will run the bar for the party. Just, you know, make sure you remember their volunteers and take care of them.
Absolutely. Okay, we're here with Wes Tucker, and he is the commander of the VF Post 1934, but he's also just been assigned the duties of the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get right back to Wes and find out about the Shasta County Veteran Service Office.
Calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical payment, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. Casey and I, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It is the 15th of March, 2023, 7:36 in the morning, 39 degrees. Looks like it's going to be a nice day with a high near 60. And tonight a low around 38, and Thursday sunny, but Thursday night increasing clouds, and then it may start raining Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. It may not. So that's good news. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. 16 years they have been in existence, and it is a local bank. Local board of directors, local people that you know that are running it. And they do not expect to run on the bank like you did down in Silicon Valley. Why? Because they know what they're doing over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, one down in Anderson. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they began. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm with Wes Tucker today, who is the new Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. And how long have you been there?
So I've been there for coming up on 3 weeks now. So, yeah, pretty excited. I'm very excited. Still very new, though, so learning a lot.
Now, you have to go through a number of courses.
Yeah, so I'm going to go through all the accreditation process and become accredited so I can so I can be able to do claims and everything for people as well, and fight with the VA for on your behalf as well.
Well, no, they've. I'm always surprised when I talk about the Shasta County Veteran Service Office to veterans that really don't know about it. I said, "Have you been down there?" Because you know they need help, and I said, "You know, one of the first steps is going right there. You get somebody that knows what they're doing. They're going to tell you how the system works, and then they're going to help you with your paperwork." Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but it's really a beautiful thing, Sho, and we will advocate for you on behalf of you with the VA if they want to push claims back or something like that. We have a team of very talented people who that's what they do. They fight for veterans, and they fight to make sure that you can get the help that you need or get the benefits that you've earned and things of that nature.
Well, say you've been out for 10 years, you were injured while in service, and then now that injury is coming back. Can you help them?
Absolutely. So bring your DD-24, bring your DD-214 down there. So we have to prove that you're a vet. So you don't walk in.
And you can help people get their 214s if they don't have them, though.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have a DD-214, we will help you order it and get that process taken care of as well. But if you bring your DD-214 down, you have a service-connected injury, we would be more than happy to get you help. The beautiful thing about that, well, I don't know if it's beautiful because we don't want anybody to have gotten injured, but the good thing about that is not only can we get you your service-connected injury, not only can we help you get treatment and get you signed up through the VA so you can actually go see a doctor about it and things of that nature. But we can also help get you compensation if it's a if you get a disability rating because of it. So you actually can get some monthly compensation for disability for an injury that you got while you were in the service.
Because it has affected your life.
Exactly.
And they have a budget for that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that your predecessor, Celestina, used to talk about is the amount of help, not only the amount of help and assistance they gave to our veterans, but the amount of that funding that came into Shasta County. And it was like $4 million a year just on benefits that comes straight into Shasta County.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely – not only is it a boost in your personal economy, it is a boost in our local economy.
Absolutely.
Because we're getting more money brought into Shasta County. So it is absolutely a wonderful thing, but the
it's
most –
it's the only county office that literally shows a big profit or mm-hmm. a profit at all. And I shouldn't say profit because that's not what it's there for, but it brings in money at a very small cost of the salaries in this. But it helps so many veterans too.
Well, yeah, it's really the money that's coming in. So, like a lot of we get funding from CalVet. So CalVet, and it's actually mm-hmm. funny because I was talking to some of the people who lobbied with CalVet to get funding for the local county VSOs. Mm-hmm. So it's actually $11 million that they give to veteran service officers. But that's all of the county. So
that's
all
50
something.
Yeah, what, eight 50, or 58, something. 58 county. Yeah.
Something like that. And so we get some funding from CalVet, but it's like – so that's some that actually goes to funding the office and things of that nature.
Yeah, because there is nothing that says a county has to have a veteran service office.
No, all they have to have is – a county only has to have a part-time veteran service officer, but an actual office dedicated to – doing what we're doing is not mandated. So it's a beautiful thing that Shasta County invests general fund dollars to keep this thing going. And then we get some money that from CalVet that helps.
Oh, and that helps with
yeah.
that. And it's not like you have bake sales.
No, we do not.
And, you know, of course, there's that sign as you come into Shasta County. Shasta County honors its veterans. And, gee, that seems like one way of doing it.
You know, it's interesting because you travel around quite a bit in California, and there's some counties that it does say that in Southern mm-hmm. Oregon. But I'll tell you what, we actually live up to it here in Shasta County. And our local government, and it's funny to me, it was actually something that struck me, is with our local government, we've had some supervisors who maybe didn't agree on everything recently. So, but one nice thing is they all showed up to the – or. They didn't agree on everything, but they showed up for veterans. They show up for our events. Yeah.
If you give them something that they can unite on, they will.
Yeah.
And veterans is one of those.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing that no matter where they're sitting or how they felt about certain issues, every single one of them's got the back of the veterans. So it's a beautiful thing.
Now, you work for the county executive officer now. Is that correct? Because that's been a change. Or has it?
It's really not a change. The only change is the reason why they did it the way they did it. The VSO always worked for the – was always at the discretion. Unrepresented position that was always at the discretion of the CEO. The only difference is this new way that they're running it where all of the financing and accounting and all that kind of stuff, budget, now goes through – the CAO's office. So now
that's off your back.
Yeah, and we don't have accounting staff. You know, we have amazing staff, but they're if they have to work on budget, that means that they have to stop helping veterans and work on the budget. And
it's like taking an infantry Marine and putting them into the admin office. Damn fine Marines. Yeah. They are not clerks.
Right, well, and it's not their primary mission.
It's
either.
Not their mission. And so when I heard about this, I was concerned, as some people were. But more I learned about was that they were taking the burden of all the admin and other things that come in, inspections and, you know, everything. They're taking it on so it comes out of their office. The only problem is that only concern for some people is that they would start whittling down your budget for something else.
So I think I could put their concerns at ease a little bit. And not only that, but the budget is voted on and approved by the Board of Supervisors. Whether And we're always going to get a majority of our funding from the general fund. And so if that starts happening, if the whomever wants to whittle away, that would have to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. Ultimately, it's going to come down to them. And I don't see our Board of Supervisors, whether it was the previous Board of Supervisors, the current one, or the current ones, I don't see either group of them being okay with taking funding away from the Veterans Service Office. And it takes up, I think it's less than 1% of the county's budget, so we really make up a pretty small...
But you bring in a lot of stuff, too.
And you're
helping the veterans. How many... okay, I'm going to hit this one on the other side. This portion of the show brought to you by another veteran-owned business, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst. And when I drove around yesterday with the rain coming down and torrents and my defroster working, I saw this little chip in my windshield, and I thought, is cold on the outside, warm on the inside, is that going to cause a crack? So I'm going to go down and see Jeff Wurst and show him the little chips in my windshield, and he's going to fix them. And he does a great job. He guarantees his work, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. Jeff can fix it. He fixed a crack in my windshield 14 years ago, still can't see it. That's the kind of work he does. If you want a free inspection and analysis for your car, truck, or RV, give them a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment today or stop by 3208 South Market Street. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair, Jeff Wurst. It's a veteran-owned business, and he's local. We'll be right back.
Take a load off, Lenny. Take a load for free. Take a load off.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stiefel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today is March the 15th, 2023, 7:50 in the morning, and I'm here with Wes Tucker, who is the new Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. And he has been there all of 3 weeks, so I can't, you know, pick on him or anything.
You can, it just, you know.
You can, but you're used to it. He's also the commander of the VFW Post 1934. And you can do both jobs.
I can do both jobs, and if anything else, it just helps me offer more services and more connections that you can get as a veteran if you come in.
There you go. Now, just for everybody that knows, VFW Post is open for all veterans.
Absolutely.
It's not just VFW. It just means you can't vote for the officers.
Yeah, if you want to be a member, a voting member in the nonprofit, then you have to.
And I've brought guests in there, and they whoop it up.
Yeah.
It's a great, and they just moved. It's a beautiful place. And in fact, you can even rent it for mm-hmm. parties. And think about that. Renting it for parties, and then it's got a full bar, mm-hmm. and it'll have a bartender. And the drinks are a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, they're a little less expensive.
Yeah, a little less expensive. Now, moving the Veteran Service Office, that looks like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty good possibility. We don't have a finalized location yet, but one of the best things is that we have a they've been asking a lot of our input, and it sounds like we have a lot of say in how the new location will be, depending on if they end up moving us at all. But it looks like that's a pretty strong possibility.
And right now, the horse in the lead is the old Black Bear, not old, the Black Bear Diner offices right across the street from you. So it's not like you're moving across town.
No, and, you know, it's a good location if that's where they end up putting us, because it's going to still be easier for our vets to find us. Literally, all they have to do is about face, and we're right there. So it's perfect in that location, as far as location. Parking would be significantly better. And
parking is a problem there. So you're going to have your own parking lot. There'll be a ramp.
Yeah, there's a ramp. There's a little parking lot. And they don't know if we'd share that building if we move there or not. And like I said, this is if. It has not been determined that we're going to move there or for sure set in stone that we'll move. But the nice thing is if that's the case, we're going to reserve quite a few of those spots. So only veteran clients can come in, or their families, the clients for the VSO, can park there. So you'll have designated parking.
But it's the same people. And how many people work there now?
So I have about 8 people work there.
And that's counting like desk staff too.
Yeah. Let me plug my team, because my team is phenomenal. I'm super excited about going in there. I was a little nervous at first just because it's a new office and I'm the outsider coming in. But I can tell you that every single person in there is super pumped and works super hard and cares about the mission we do. There's not a person in there who's there because they just want to get a check and go home. Don't misunderstand me. We like getting our checks and going home, but at the same time, they're mission focused people, and I love it. We got a guy, Brian. He's a naval. He's prior Navy. Well, actually, he's still kind of Navy because of some reservist type stuff. But the dude's hilarious. But he works his butt off. Pardon me. Tori is an amazing person with an absolute heart for veterans. I don't know if anybody cares more and has more empathy and more care for it than she does. And not because everybody else doesn't care, just because I don't think it's possible for someone to care about veterans as much as Tori does. Tara and Amy, they're our front desk staff. They are absolutely love vets. They treat everybody who comes in there with absolute dignity and respect.
They're very nice faces to come in there, and because they're obviously very caring.
Yep. Yeah. And then Troy's a longtime guy there. People, that dude, I think he did my claim when I first got out. I mean, the guy is squared away, knows his stuff, and is super cares about that office in general. And then we got another guy, Alex. He's the new guy. Besides me, he's the new guy. And he is a super awesome guy. He's also Army. Man, but it's really nice. The other day, or yesterday, actually, I was helping a veteran out with he's got some mental health issues, and I was helping him get his jacket on because we were closing our doors for lunch, and I was helping him put his jacket on. He's a homeless guy, and getting him outside so he could get going on his way, and, you know, treating him with dignity and respect. But at the same time, he's this individual had a history of, you know, being a little bit, he was very polite yesterday, but Alex showed up as I'm helping him out, stood there and watched, and flashed me back to being in the military and just having that battle buddy who's got your back. And I love it. I love working there, and it's only been a few weeks, but it's been just beautiful.
Now, the training you go through is extensive.
Yeah. I mean,
because you have to be able to get into the internet vaults when it comes to veterans and, you know, finding out. To go back into to be able to help them. So it's tiers, is that right? You can start helping people up to a certain point, and then you've got to get to the next level.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it, like tiers. So you get your certifications, and then there's more certifications that would go, and certifications with the VA, and then you can get certified with different organizations like the American Legion or VFW and things of that nature. And the level of access you get depends on the level of training that you've gotten past. So for sure. And then not only that, but every single one of our vets who gets accredited, they have to maintain those accreditations. So they have to continuously be going to trainings throughout the year.
And what this does is it trains them on how to get into the benefits flow and find out where a lot of these are.
Yeah, it helps them advocate for veterans.
That's the whole thing, and you all do a great job. People don't realize that as you get older, and maybe you need some help at home. Maybe you were one of those people that fell and you busted a knee or something. There's aid in attendance for times like this that you've earned as a veteran of a foreign war.
Or just any veteran for us, yeah.
Yeah, but the aid in attendance is, you don't have to have been in combat if you served during that time. I mean, it's really helped out a lot of people. I mean, and it's not only, if I understand this right, it's not only for the veteran, but it's for the spouse too.
Yeah, and depending on dependent.
It's not fair to ask you this question, but that's the way I understand it.
No, they can. It's also for your dependents and things of that nature. So, yeah. I mean, you've earned these things, and you know what?
These are not entitlements. These are earned benefits, and there's a big difference.
Well, and like you said, whether you're in combat or not, I mean, let's be honest. Outside of being in Afghanistan, I remember having to do quite a few ruck marches, and I imagine you do too, you do 12-mile ruck marches with a third of your body weight on your back in full gear. That adds a lot of strain on your body.
12. Those are warm-ups. Okay. I had to get one in. Yeah, come on, give me a break here.
This is over. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Wes Tucker has been our guest. He is not only the new Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, great attitude, he's young, he could be here for a long time. He's also the commander of the VFW Post 1934. And for all my veteran friends out there, if you haven't been there yet, you need to stop by. You don't have to be a member of the VFW. When somebody comes in and says, I'm a veteran, do you make them prove it?
You know, most of the time we don't make them prove it. It really depends on the situation.
Yeah.
And if they're, you know, we ask them to sign in because we are a nonprofit. If they're someone new, and because most of the time we've seen them over and over again, but if they're someone new, we might ask them for some sort of proof, but it really is dependent if they come in with someone
knows them.
Yeah, they talk about it.
Plus, you can bring guests in.
Yeah.
So if you've got a buddy and you want to come down, okay, just tell me. Do you still have Taco Tuesdays?
Not yet. We want to bring it back in. Well, we do sometimes. It's just not every Tuesday like it used to be. It's a little bit logistically.
Do you have breakfast or dinners or anything special? I thought I saw a breakfast there once.
So, yeah, we used to do breakfast the last Sunday of the month. Right. We haven't really reincorporated the breakfast yet. It's something we're working on, but we got to get. It's just a smaller space.
And you're getting everything else up, mm-hmm. but it's a great place for veterans to meet and chit chat with other veterans.
But we still do Monday night burger night. It's a great burger too.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do you get burgers and
it's
chips?
Like $5 for a burger, and then usually we'll bring sides like beans and or a potato salad or something.
Cool.
Like that. One of the beautiful things about having
we may have to have an office dinner down there.
And one of the best things about having the vets, older vets and their family, is a lot of them can cook. And
oh, they're there to help. Okay. Hey, Wes, thank you so much. And how do people get a hold of the Shasta County Veterans Service Office?
You can always come by. We're at 1855 Shasta Street. And if you want to get services, you really do need to come by. If you want to get your claim started, you need to come by. You feel free to reach out. We're at 225-5616. And so we would love to answer any questions you might have before you head out there. If you live further out, there's some things that we really are in the beginning talking about, so we can reach our
vets. Well, we'll have you on again, and we can talk about those new things you want to do. Okay, we have to run. After the news, we have the Shasta County Sheriff's Office with us.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Cutting the hearing, they claim it's nothing more than a political stunt.
You tell me, taking a hearing to the point of the crisis for a first-hand view, or boycotting a hearing because you know we're going to shine a light on the truth? Which of those is a political stunt? I'd say the political stunt is these empty chairs.
And this morning's hearing entitled Failure by Design, examining Secretary Mayorkas's border crisis. Parts of the West Coast have been flooded by torrential rains. Parts of the Northeast varied by heavy snow.
In Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Peter Davis doesn't seem to mind all the snow.
Finally, the big snowstorm of the year. I finally get to use my new snowblower.
But Tuesday's storm left tens of thousands of homes and businesses without power, and there were widespread school closings. The storm's path included New England, northeastern Pennsylvania, northern New Jersey, and upstate New York, where in some locations 2 feet of snow fell.
Correspondent Donna Warder. Aggression by Russia in the skies over the Black Sea is further escalating tension between Washington and Moscow. The Pentagon says a Russian fighter jet clipped the propeller of a U.S. surveillance drone, causing it to crash. The Pentagon says this happened in international airspace. Sell-off this morning on Wall Street. The Dow down 545 points. The Nasdaq off 132. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
The Oxford English Dictionary adding dozens of words commonly used in New Zealand.
The OED describes itself as the definitive English guide. Its latest edition of vocabulary deepens its coverage of the dialect spoken in New Zealand with 47 new words. The majority reflect the influence of the Māori language, spoken by the country's indigenous Polynesian inhabitants. Everyday words include kia ora e hoa or hi mate, koha meaning gift, and whenua or homeland. More conceptual and hard-to-translate terms such as rangatiratanga, signifying the right to self-determination, also feature. In addition, there are non-Māori-derived words, including afterball, a party following a formal event, and the colloquial greeting chur, a derivation of cheers.
That's BBC's Will Leonardo. After barreling through Mozambique and Malawi since late last week and killing hundreds, displacing thousands more, Cyclone Freddy set to move away from land today. Townhall.com. Arkansas doctors who perform sex change procedures on minors can now be sued for malpractice.
This after Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed the Transcare Malpractice Bill into law. The legislation makes it easier to sue doctors who perform sex change procedures on minors. Anyone who was given hormones or surgery as a minor that resulted in health issues at a later date now have 15 years' time to file a malpractice suit against the doctor who performed the procedures. The legislation comes as a growing number of young adults choose to detransition due to medical and mental issues caused by the excessive hormones and surgeries. The law takes effect this summer. Keisha Stevens reporting.
A Texas federal judge is set to hear arguments today in a lawsuit. It's aimed at overturning the FDA's approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment with the heating guys coming in today to change a card out so that we don't see our breath in one half of the house as we're walking around. Good morning, everybody. Today, the 15th of March, 2023. 8:05 in the morning, and the news is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. They are on the cutting edge of technology over there. They are a teaching hospital. They're bringing in doctors from all over. Shasta Regional Medical Center, yeah. Healing starts here. Liam's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Looking very industrious and intellectual.
Periodic table of elements.
Hey, what's the weather look like?
Yeah, so we're going to have a high of 59 today, a low of 38 tonight.
Wait a minute. Say the first thing, though, that no rain today?
No rain today. It's going to be sunny. Flood watch does continue through today, though. So today and tomorrow, sunny. We are going to be in the mid to low 60s moving forward. Rain is going to start picking up again Friday, and it's going to continue through Tuesday of next week.
Of course, the day that the Jake turkey season starts.
Naturally.
We're going to wander through the rain, get inside a blind that probably leaks somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Anyway.
Hopefully the rain is behind us.
Yeah. I think we're looking at it. You know, when you start seeing 30% chances, you feel like that means 70% chance it won't rain. So, anyway, your weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a family-owned business, a veteran-owned business. That take care of their customers. They do treat their customers like warm friends. They have discounts for seniors and veterans and other discounts for people that that apply for those. That Shasta Gas Propane, reach them at 530-365-3793. And I'm here with Captain Gene Randall from the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. Good morning.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Well, last time you were with you'd been in the jail. You'd been in jail, but obviously you've escaped.
Yeah,
to another area.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting last year. So last time we spoke, I was our jail division commander, and I was reassigned over to our services division of the office, and definitely an interesting change of pace.
Well, can we go? Let's talk about the jail a little bit. I've heard rumors is that they may be opening up another. They may be opening that floor up.
Yeah. So part of being in the services division, I handle a lot of our personnel matters and the hiring, and we're doing quite well as far as the pace of hiring. It's certainly a matter of
great
getting the personnel through the door, but then we also have to get to the training. So we're not quite there yet, but we're making some excellent strides in that direction and getting some personnel onboarded. We've hired a lot of really good quality personnel, and I have high hopes that we're going to meet that threshold and goal and get that floor of that jail opened.
Well, that's always been the final thing. Even if you had $5 billion for a jail, if we don't have personnel to run it, it does us no good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
I think everybody knows that. So the recruiting has picked up.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that. Our recruitment team has been top-notch. they've been performing very well and getting to a lot of events and some community outreach. I think they've done an excellent job dispelling myths about employment in the jail. And as a result, we've seen an influx of really strong candidates that are navigating the hiring process well and have been, quite frankly, working out quite well. I'm really excited about the succession planning over at the jail.
Now, the you can't just apply. You've got to go through a variety of – you have to do background checks, psychological test, physical test, and then go through a post-academy, but it's not the same post that police officers go to.
Yeah, that's a –
Did I catch that right?
Yeah, that's a great talking point because I hopefully in the listening audience, if there's people out there that are considering a career in law enforcement, we can certainly encourage them. For starters, you fill out an application. There's a process for that. There is a screening process of the applicants because we screen to a certain standard.
Sure.
Then followed by a written examination, and there is a physical agility test. It's a little bit different for the deputies that are assigned to patrol, but nevertheless, there is a test. Successful candidates there will then go to an oral board, and from there, those candidates that are successful in the oral board would then participate in a captain's interview with myself and then enter the background process. It could seem a little bit intimidating. The background packet itself is like 36 pages of personal information. But I think the most important thing to remember is that there's no perfect candidate out there.
Yeah.
And we're looking for people that have good morals and ethics and for the most part have integrity, that could do the right thing when nobody's looking. And then once a candidate navigates the background process, we then at that point do a psychological test and a medical examination and then onboarding. And from there, there's a training period of approximately 3 months to get our staff to where they could work.
Now, is that done someplace else or right here?
No, it's done right here in Shasta County.
Oh, okay.
And some of the exciting stuff that we've done over the last couple of years is we actually built an academy here that we administer for our region, our staff, and also our region partners. So the core academy for corrections is a little bit different than the post academy, whereas it's about 5 weeks in length, whereas the post academy is about 6 months.
Right.
So it's a little bit different standard.
Your candidates don't have to be so much up on the law and all this. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that, but all the different things that they have to do and the driving and all that. You all are working within a fixed space.
Yeah, it's working in the controlled environment.
Yeah.
It's a great position for someone that's interested in the restorative piece of the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And you could come in, you know, essentially high school education. Obviously, the more education people have, generally the more successful they are in navigating the process.
Mm-hmm.
and ultimately landing a job in the correctional facility. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's a controlled environment. It's a great place to learn. It's a great place for someone to start a career in law enforcement if they're interested.
Now, do you have people that have been in the correctional side switch over to the officer side?
Yeah, that's another great talking point. Probably about 40 to 50% of our staff on patrol matriculated into the department and then ended up going out to patrol. Typically, we're sending about 1 to 2 correctional deputies to the academy every 6 months to go be the police academy,
right,
to come out and work as deputies. Now, that's slowed down a little bit post-pandemic just because of the staffing issues at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we can continue that process because we've got a lot of great deputies working the street that started their career in the jail. It's a great place to learn.
Oh, yeah. I took a tour of the jail, and I was just amazed at the quality of the officers in there and what they you know meet every day on their shift and all this and that it's a different environment than somebody that's on the street. Totally different environment.
Yeah, I would have to concur. When I first took over at the jail when I was a division commander, I was never a full-time correctional deputy in my career.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time of being assigned there full-time. And one of the goals I had was to learn the different jobs that that go on at the jail, and starting operating our module control panels, it was definitely a task, learning that. It was challenging for me, yet it was a really rewarding assignment at the same time. I definitely gained a valuable perspective for what our employees do there day in and day out.
You've got to be able to do everything your men do. Exactly. Men and women do. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Excuse me. We are with Captain Gene Randall, who is now, he was at the jail, and that's why we're asking questions. But now he's in charge of the administration and emergency services, internal affairs, and that section now. So, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by PSA2 Area Agency on Aging. They have, they've just announced a Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. This is no cost program to the people that apply for this and are, and accepted. But it's to, the whole idea behind this is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. You may need, handholds in the showers. You may need a new, handholds for going downstairs, things like this, is to help people that are a little bit older or have a mental problem, not trip and be able to stay at home a lot longer. Call PSA2 Area on Aging at 530-842-1687 for more information. We'll be right back.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Reading both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Reading Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are the cool and the music is the tunes with the hop.
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only dish premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Redding both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Redding Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. The 15th of March, 8:20 in the morning, about 40 degrees out there. No rain in the forecast today, so go out there and stand in your backyard naked and collect all the vitamin D you can from the sun. Okay, maybe it was, forget the naked part, but just go out there and do that. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding, and just absolutely a great place to shop. It's local, my friends. It's locally owned, locally operated, Rebecca and Henry. They have a super selection of jewelry at very fair prices, and the only watch repairman in all of Northern California is right at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Okay. We're here with Captain Gene Randall of the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, who is in charge of the administration, the recruiting, the emergency services, everything that has to do with keeping the place running day to day. Not on the street, but he's been on the street. He used to be in charge of the jail over there, and we've been talking about the jail. Impact if when the new jail is built. And I imagine that they probably asked you for ideas in this. 238 prisoners, I think. Or is it more than that? 286? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's going to design. It'll really depend on the design.
Yeah.
And the square footage and the services that are going to be required by the BSCC standards in Title 24.
So those services are not just keeping people in their cells, but also getting people off drugs, into programs, mental health programs, and all these. Is that going to be part of the jail, too, or maybe adjacent to it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. We touched on a little bit on the restorative piece of the criminal justice program, and obviously jail is a great place for that. But again, having the bed space means everything in order to get the program to work. And,
yeah.
And part of that is being able to leverage the sanctions of the law to convince people and persuade them to go to the programming. So
without a hammer doesn't work really well, does it?
Yeah, it just doesn't. And again, once we're in, you know, have the third floor of the jail opened, we add the bed space, to the existing facility. I think as a community, we could see some real growth in that area and perhaps keep people going to programming. So different programs like the MAT program with the medical league assistance with the drug treatment will work mm-hmm. with a lot greater success.
Well, you know, what? If we have them and we can hold them and because they're going to go through detox, I mean, if they've been on drugs, if you've got them in jail for 30 days, they're going to go through detox. But what kind of impact on our community would another 250 seats make? You'll fill it up in a week.
Yeah, in my opinion, I do believe that we could run into that. We certainly don't want to run into a situation where we're overly or relying heavily on incarceration.
Right.
But again,
we know that doesn't work, but we also need to get bad guys and girls off the street.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, there's the offender population that poses a significant risk to the public safety, and we have to have a mechanism for keeping our community safe and those folks off the street. However, when we're talking about the issues of vagrancy and some of the quality of life crimes, I think we're going to be in a lot better position to hold those folks accountable and to make sure that we are properly leveraging the sanctions of the law to get them to comply with treatment. So the ultimate goal would be to reduce our recidivism, especially for the misdemeanors and some of the property crimes that do become felonies.
Yeah, I mean, nobody. Well, I shouldn't say that because they do. Most people start with small crimes, though, and work their way up. But especially in drugs, you must have seen a thousands probably cycle through the jail that you've seen them more than once, more than twice, more than three times. Is that mainly drugs that you're seeing?
Yeah, that's definitely a piece, drugs and alcohol, related offenses. But it all kind of centers around that cycle of recidivism where we have the ability to hold people in custody and they know they're going to be held accountable. Then I think that that's going to be the persuasion they need to actually follow through with their programming, because in this county, we have some excellent wraparound services. I think Health and Human Services does a good job as far as offering different programming and different solutions. But again, we come back to that problem. If we can't hold people accountable and there's no real threat of keeping people in custody, it's going to make it very difficult to keep people going to the programming that we as a society need them to attend.
And people don't realize that, I'm sorry, they do realize, I'm sure, this is a long-term program. You're not going to get everybody. But if you could get 10% of the ones that are having these problems into programs, and after a while, after 4 or 5 years, if you can keep that up, 8 to 10%, that takes a lot of people off the streets.
Yeah, I can agree with you more.
It's like it's just a long term battle that we just have to realize we're in, and just try to treat it. And I don't mean by death, but treat it every year. How do we, how many new people were you seeing? Like, you had never seen them before, and then they started showing up.
I've never really done any particular study to see if there's.
Because I know you do a lot of studies. Yeah,
right.
I know you do that.
So that was it was always a topic of interest, and I think had I stayed a little bit longer, I would definitely have looked at that study, because I think in our community there's a lot of question of, are the people that are committing crimes actually our residents or residents of another community? I think it's an interesting talking point. But where we are currently now, I think we need to take a good futures approach as far as the restorative piece. And jail is going to be a big component of that. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the bed space. It's going to definitely start there. And then we could then move into some evidence-based programs as far as detox, using medication as far as treatment, and try and gain a little bit better handle on the success of those programs and to keep people out of jail and from getting in the criminal justice system to begin with.
Gosh, isn't that the idea? And, it's such a – it starts in school, and then it goes into jobs. We got to have jobs. We got to have it starts early responsibility and all these things. Then it's drug treatment programs for those who fall into that, and then it's housing for those who want to make that shift. I mean, this is a huge, huge thing. This isn't just you can't lock them up and throw away the key anymore.
Yeah, and that's a concept that's been well defined, even going back into the early 50s and 60s, where essentially what you're outlining is the social control theory and social control models, and that just goes back to children and adolescents, and everybody's pretty much capable of deviant behavior. However, when they have a strong father figure or, a parent in the household, perhaps maybe a teacher, aunt, uncle, that they don't want to let that person down, then we don't tend to see the deviant behavior as often.
That's why mentoring programs, and we've had organizations on that are they're looking for seniors, for seniors over 55. That's seniors now. They're for mentoring programs for kids in high school, that they have somebody they can talk to and call and this to help them through times like this, because maybe they don't have that family figure.
Yeah, and from my experience, I've been in the business for about 24 years now. And being a police officer or a deputy sheriff in a certain area, get to know some of the families that have more needs than others. And as you watch the children grow and you can see the family dynamic, you can almost see the social control theory at work. And I believe that you're absolutely correct, is the mentoring programs can be very successful because we've all seen the families where we think, oh, gosh, the children are really going to struggle later in life, and they turn out and really surprise us and perhaps go to college, medical school, or become attorneys. I've witnessed all that, but I think it really starts with the social controls and having that strong adult figure to be a role model in their life.
All right. We're here with Captain Gene Randall from the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. He was in charge of the jail for several years, so he's speaking from the voice of experience here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the things he's doing now. But this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. We do business with Judy. Why? Because she has the best knowledge and the best programs for us. And you can check it out there, too. Or what about your retirement plans or your 401ks with all the craziness that's going on? Are you in the best position as we all live longer? Well, give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation at 530-221-0441. She's located at 1378 Hilltop Drive and has been helping PAM families, business owners, seniors, veterans since 1993. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Looking for a restaurant that offers quality and value? Look no further than Dry Creek Station on Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. Family owned and operated, Dry Creek Station has been serving up delicious steaks, seafood, chicken, soups, and salads since 1992. Don't miss their house-made clam chowder and live music Friday and Saturday night. And be sure to ask about their fantastic weekend specials. And the menu doesn't stop there. Come check out Dry Creek Station's new lunch menu, including their fabulous burger menu. Also grilled chicken breast, beef ribs, fish and chips, a salmon fillet, and their popular lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawns. They also offer kids' meals. Join us at the Dry Creek Station for lunch from noon to 4 or dinner from 5 to 9. Open Tuesday through Sunday with happy hour from 3 to 5. Come on down to the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East of Bella Vista, where quality and value meet.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors.
From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, bounce houses. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Zombie Arms and Ammunition, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Today is the 15th of March, 2023, if you're just getting up, and I so much envy you if you're just getting up right now. But maybe you're on your way to work, 8:34 in the morning. It looks like it's going to be a sunshiny day. What a great day. We need that. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. It's a veteran-owned business that just gives great haircuts. It's man's last stronghold. They work by appointments where you can set up a time to come in that works for you. Come in, get your haircut, leave, hang around if you want to. It's up to you. But it's Cypress Square Barbershop. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. Did I say that already? And it's a veteran-owned business. It's off of Athens Avenue, right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. And I'm here with Captain Gene Randall, who is in charge of the administrative affairs, emergency services, everything that keeps the sheriff's office running. And you're going, ooh, yeah, but he was in the jail for several years, not as a prisoner, but ran the jail. We've been talking about that for the first half hour. Now, let's talk about your job now. What falls under you? I just threw a few of them out.
Yeah, so it's an interesting position. Currently, I'm the division commander for our services division, and that's going to encompass our personnel hiring, our background unit, records unit, and Office of Emergency Services. I also have an analyst that works for me as a direct report that handles our PRA requests, our Public Records Act requests. And it's definitely an interesting day. None of my direct reports are congruent, so it makes for a very interesting mornings.
Now, Reading Police Department starting the body cameras. Is that coming to the sheriff's office?
You know, I don't have any immediate plans of implementing any programs, of course, and I haven't had any conversations with the undersheriff regarding starting a similar program yet.
Okay, and that's coming, though. I think every agency in California is supposed to have them at some date.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any mandates yet, especially for law enforcement. Now, in the custodial settings, I know that there are some lawsuits that are working their way through the courts that have required certain prisons to don body cameras for all their staff. But the mandate hasn't made it here yet. Is it coming? I would think so.
I think so. For your officers out there, it protects them too. But it's everything that goes with it. But when I went through San Quentin on a tour, there were no cameras in there. Mm-hmm. And I found that really interesting. But it was because the guards union had fought against that. Of course, that's a completely different enchilada than our jail here. But I thought that was interesting. I thought there'd be cameras everywhere, but there wasn't. Okay, so what are some of the other things that fall into your division?
Yeah, so some of the most interesting hot button topics that fall under my division right now is the hiring and recruitment, and we, along with everybody else, have been struggling with recruitment and retention of employees. One thing that we've certainly received some good support from our Board of Supervisors with hiring incentives. There's still a $15,000 hiring incentive for lateral deputies and lateral correctional deputies.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody out there in the listening audience that has friends or family members that are currently in the field and maybe it's time for them to make the jump to Shasta County, it's a great place to work, and there are some great incentives to make that transition. It's a good time.
Well, I would think, for me, it's just me, and if I had 8-9 years as law enforcement in places like San Francisco or Fresno or even Sacramento, I would think about coming up to Redding. I mean, pay's good, and you don't have the you have a backing of a community, and you don't have the craziness that you do in these big cities. That to me seems that wouldn't even take a lot of time to figure that one out.
Yeah, I'm from the area, and so when I started my career 24 years ago, it was a little bit different, where you generally had to take a job somewhere else wherever you could find employment, and then you slowly worked your way back home.
Right.
And so I've worked for three different agencies in my career and then was able to get back to Shasta County. But these are unprecedented times where people could start their career and theoretically go their whole career in one agency. We've seen some changes in the retirement systems, I think, that has caused the lateral market to slow.
Yeah, because if you move, you come under the new system.
Right.
Is that it? That's why the bonuses are important.
Yeah, the bonuses are important to offset that. But I think once we have enough people in the PEPRA system, which is the new retirement system, hopefully the lateral market will open up. But I would tell anybody that's out there that's listening, one of the reasons I love working for Shasta County is the partnership we have with our community. It is a fantastic place to work. And recently I attended Command College, which is about a 16-month program, and it was run out of San Diego. And I was with commanders from up and down the state and several from the L.A. County area. And listening to the stories that they share as far as the relationship they have with their community, I don't think I would trade Shasta County for anything.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, people like our law enforcement up here. And, you know, working in some of these other areas is just a, I mean, you're in a shooting gallery.
Yeah, just
in some cases.
It really seems like a tumultuous environment in some of those jurisdictions and municipalities. Whereas here, we enjoy good community support that strongly supports law enforcement.
Any laws that you're aware of that's just going to make it harder for our law enforcement and our court system and our jail system?
Well, currently, I think that a lot of the laws that were changed under Prop 47, especially as it related to property crimes, there's going to be a lot of discussion moving forward with that.
Dropping the level.
Yeah, and so just
from $946 to $500 or something.
Yeah, just to frame my thought. Prior to Prop 47, the threshold for theft was decided at $400. So anything below $400 was considered a misdemeanor petty theft. Anything above $400 was considered grand theft. And now we're seeing organized theft as a result, where theft from stores and just basic shoplifting has become an organized crime, and it's really impacting the businesses and the lives of those employees that the stores are closing down because they simply can't compete. So there has been some measures, it looks like, to get a little tougher on the property crimes. But then again, it all circles back to making sure that we have the adequate bed space to keep offenders accountable and to push them into those programs and the wraparound services they need not to recidivate.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Anderson Police Department did a roundup of shoplifters and everything out there at the Walmart out there, and captured in the parking lot a whole bunch of people, I don't know, 10, 12. Well, what they do is they bring them up to here, and if up, you know, to the jail, and if there's no room there, they just get turned loose, and they're back down there again, where if you had the room, you could hold them at least, and maybe until trial. I mean, that's the whole thing is space. So we're here with Captain Gene Randall, who is head of the Services Division there at the Sheriff's Office. He brought up an interesting point during the break, and I'd like to, we're going to circle back on that one, about somebody that is really an expert when it comes to incarceration and her thoughts on this. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, one in the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. They've started new programs there, the TAVR valve replacement, where you can have a valve replaced in your heart without open heart surgery. They've got, they're the only area hospital with a Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. There's so many things that Shasta Regional Medical Center offers to our community. Healing starts here. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Redding both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Redding Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Winter weather is upon us. When snow and ice and wind and rain can stir up dirt and grime on the roadways, impacting visibility and vehicle performance. So when the wash can't wait, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding, featuring car wash packages starting at only $9. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Give your child the gift of two languages. Tree of Life International Charter School, where love is our first language, now accepting applications for TK through 8th grade for the Spanish Immersion Program. La Maravillosa Escuela Pública Bilingüe en Anderson ahora está aceptando solicitudes para TK a octavo grado. TK está abierto para estudiantes que cumplen 4 años antes de abril 2. Estudiantes que hablan inglés o español adquieren fluidez superior en ambos idiomas y en un tercer idioma. Y todos gratis. Llame hoy para programar una visita a la escuela y inscribir a su hijo. La lotería de inscripción se llevará a cabo el 29 de marzo. Apúrense. 530-378-7040. Call now to schedule a tour and enroll your child. ¡Arriba! 530-378-7040.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Redding both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Redding Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:48 in the morning here on the 15th of March. It's going to be a nice day. No rain in the forecast. It may start coming back tomorrow. Maybe not. Maybe sunny. It's smaller percentages for the rest of the week. So that means there's a larger percentage that it won't, chance that it won't rain. Now let's just take a week off from this before we start again. Maybe 3 or 4 days of sunshine would be nice. Yesterday, I was driving back from Palo Cedro. It was like, it was hard to see it a couple of times there. It was coming through. And you're living in Palo Cedro.
I am, yeah.
And you almost, your neighbors almost got flooded.
Well, I mean, it'll probably get worse today with the snow starting to melt. So we're kind of just hoping for the best.
Oh, yeah. Once it starts, and then we've had flooding down in Anderson. And if you had any, you get involved with that at all in the sheriff's office in your division about the flooding and all these different things that are happening around here?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm with Captain Gene Randall, who heads up the services division at the sheriff's office, which covers everything that you can imagine from recruiting to internal affairs.
Yeah, so it was a late night for me and most of our captains and lieutenants. We were out and we had we did end up standing up a small emergency operations center at our local office of emergency services for the flooding that was occurring down in Anderson along the canal banks. And then I think we had pretty significant flooding down in Trefoil area of Cottonwood. The last report I had was water was starting to recede last night. But again, we're just as he mentioned, we're really concerned as far as the snow melting and getting the warmer rain in those elevation areas. So we're definitely keeping a close eye on it. And the emergency responders that went out were fantastic last night. Unfortunately, we did have to do some evacuations down around Jacqueline Street in that area and parallel in Anderson. But again, thank the community for, you know, evacuating, staying out of the way of the first responders. And we were able to get some sandbags along some of the levees and hopefully divert that water back in the canal. And if Mother Nature
we're talking about the acid canal here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the CID.
Now, it said that because it logs and debris in there that caused backups. Who's in charge of the acid canal? Do we know? Is it the county, the state?
I believe it's their own entity that runs it, where they have a board.
Yeah.
They have a manager that's in charge of it, and they have ditch tenders that come out and clear debris from the ditches and switch water and the overall maintenance of it.
Okay. Well, all right. During the break, we were talking about a lady by the name of Christine Montross, Dr. Christine Montross, who wrote a book, Waiting for an Echo. And this is about incarceration systems. Is that correct?
Yeah. It is. It's a fantastic read. I think that she was certainly an interesting person and author. If I remember correctly, she did her undergrad and it was English and then went on to teach poetry, but then became an MD and dedicated a significant portion of her career as a medical doctor to working with offenders that are incarcerated.
Became a psychiatrist?
I believe so, that okay. She was a clinical psychiatrist
okay.
as well. But the interesting part was, is, I read it as a part of when I took over at the jail. It was recommended to me and I sat down and read it. I actually read it twice. It was a fantastic book. But I think the part that was most interesting was the Haldeman model, in one of the Scandinavian nations over in Norway. Because it seems that's the direction the state is moving, with that model of incarceration.
Okay, and which is?
It's a different way and a different approach to incarcerating offenders, where they do have a maximum security prison, but they've done everything they could to eliminate the linear structure and hard contours of prison and make it more like being in open society.
Oh.
So
now there are people that need to be locked up and their key thrown away, though.
Yeah, and I think they have a mechanism for that. But one of the main differences between Norway and the United States is they don't have any sentences that are longer than 21 years. So it's a bit shocking to the conscience at first. But I think that the numbers speak pretty well, and they have significantly lower recidivism rates. Now, with that said, I know that there are, you know, certain abominable crimes that people do need to be locked away and they just cannot be in society. And they do have a mechanism for dealing with that, but I'm not an expert on the Norwegian laws. But it is an interesting concept that with the 21-year sentence, and their motto is actually creating better neighbors.
Well, you know, I had an acquaintance that got sentenced to life in Australia. It was like 20 years was for life. And if I remember this right, this was several decades ago. And then he was released, but it sounds like, so what they're trying to do is, you know, even if, I imagine I just imagine the number of murders and heinous crimes is probably less in Norway.
Yeah, I believe their violent crime statistics are lower. And it's an interesting concept. It's probably not one that we can cover just in the confines of the radio show. It'd probably be an all-day thing.
Yeah.
But I would certainly encourage people that have questions about the direction of incarceration in the United States and some of the dramatic shifts, because it strikes me that those ideas are coming from that book.
Okay.
And I think it's a good way to kind of get your mind around the playbook as a futures-related issue.
It would be great if you could take a first-time offender that's just been sentenced to 5 years. Not a first time, but because they usually you don't get – well, anyway, somebody's been sentenced to 5 years in prison, that by the time they leave there, they can go out and get a job.
Yeah.
And not be prison become a convert to the prison life?
Yeah, and the point you're speaking to is people becoming institutionalized, where that's all they know, and they have difficulty going out into society and integrating and working. Whereas over in Norway in the Scandinavian model, they're focusing on the normality of society inside the confines of the prison to teach people those values. So when they do get out, it's not just ready, set, go, here's some gate money, good luck, and hopefully we will see you back here. There's a test involved in the release process where as they near the end of their sentence, they're released for maybe a day at a time, then a weekend at a time, and then a week on, week off basis, and it's well controlled.
Well, I could see, you know, there'd probably be tiers in that system too, where you come in and then as you progress these tiers, by the time you get out, I mean, you put somebody in for 20 years, that's a big chunk of life. And if that's as long as you can put them in, then by the time, I'm probably less that having them to come out and not get institutionalized again. So what is the recidivism rate? Do you know that? Because it's pretty high around here.
Yeah, the most of the studies that I looked at put it right around 85%
here
in California.
Right.
And obviously we had AB 109 that everyone talks about back 2011, 2012, and that was aimed at the recidivism at the revolving door at the state prison. And we know how that worked out is we then took a lot of those prisoners on at the local levels on the counties, which places a strain on our local system here for corrections.
Norway's recidivism rate is 20%.
Well, that's pretty good. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would be.
Waiting for an Echo is the name of the book by Christine Montrose. It may be worth a read just to see that, because we need new ideas. So at least though the county has said we're going to build a new wing, and they have picked the spot. And people may not like the spot, they may, you know, whatever. But at least we're moving forward, as opposed to just arguing about everything. But at least we're moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that's an important key component for the leadership. I mean, whether you're a captain at the sheriff's office or at the board of supervisors. Is we got to look at the past, we have to look at the present to understand how we got there, and we have to have a direction where we know we're going. And if that's the direction that's decided upon and where we're going, it's a plan. And I think moving forward, it's something that's definitely going to benefit the residents of our community. A lot of times incarcerations, it's difficult, it's counterintuitive in the criminal justice system that we're take people and lock them up, but the ultimate goal is that we all come together, we work together as a plan, as a futures-related issue. We're putting people back out on the street that have a stronger sense of success, and they could actually go integrate in society and become a working member rather than the current system that we seem to be trending where we have recidivism and it seems to be cycling through the justice system and really clogging it up.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. We've had Captain Gene Randall here, who is in charge of services division, but was in charge of the jail for several years. So, I mean, the guy's speaking as a subject matter expert, as we call him, on what happens. We've got to look at incarceration different. And because the other side obviously isn't working. And the Norwegian model has a 20% recidivism rate, and we have an 85%. So is there a way we can incorporate some of this, you know, some of what they have with what we have? Wouldn't it be great to get it down to 50% recidivism?
I think it's a long – we're going to peer into the future on that one.
Yeah.
But obviously we have some stumbling blocks politically as well, where in the United States it's pretty clear that we're
eye for an eye.
Well,
we're big on that.
Just more so the polarization too. Like in a lot of the major elections that are decided at 49-51, it's very clear that those numbers are there. Whereas in the Scandinavian nations, I don't think that they have the struggles with polarization.
Yeah. Probably not, except they're going through some stuff right now in their immigration system, too, as we know. Okay, thanks a lot, Captain. And tomorrow, Trish Clark joins me, and I'm going to try and get Chris Street on tomorrow. I'm going to give him a call as soon as the show's over and see if I can get him on tomorrow, since the Board of Supervisors has offered him the job as the Chief Administrative Officer for Shasta County. Everybody, hey, it's going to be a beautiful day. Enjoy it. And God bless America.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.